I'm here in the Hub, which is part of Brighton Spiegeltent on day one of Brighton Fringe. That doesn't feel like day one. It feels like everyone's still building venues. Luke Rollison, are you still building a show, or is this one printed?
This is a show which is kind of always, it's always being built, in that I'm still trying to, I'm going to have an ending today, a new ending. And it's always different because there's always new parts to it, and it's kind of me making it up with an audience as we go along. So it's a very fluid show, you know, which is nice to do something that's like quite relaxed. It means nothing can go wrong.
Possibly. So this is different comedy.
Yeah, I would say it's certainly different comedy. A lot of people ask me if I'm a stand-up, and the closest thing I can say to explain it is it's Mr. Bean trying to do David Attenborough, I think. Yeah. Is the clearest I can be with it.
What did you want to be as a child?
As a child, first an astronaut, and then a priest, and then I gave up both of those hobbies, and I wanted to be an actor. And then I saw a guy called Trygve Wakenshaw perform a show called Squid Boy at the Fringe, and I thought, that is what I want to do. This guy is an amazing artist, and he's doing extraordinary fart noises, and he's just absolutely hilarious. It made me laugh and cry, and from then on I wanted to be a clown.
So not everyone's got that narrative thread in their life. This is something that was in you right from the start.
Yeah, certainly. I always love performing, and to me laughter is the best sound in the world. So and I was always, even when I was trying to be an actor, I could never help ad-libbing or making stuff up, and so it kind of began to make a lot more sense that actually what I wanted to do was something that was very spontaneous and kind of has the audience and the relationship with the audience at its heart. Something really silly as well.
And yet, you know, the whole tradition of clown is laughter can't be the only sound in the world, can it?
Yeah. I think, I mean, with this show, certainly, there are kind of tragic elements to it. And to me, what I like best is when you have like the silence of people listening and really absorbed by what you're doing, which then will hopefully result in them laughing. It's about, I think it's about trying to like share a moment, I think, with an audience in a way. And to me, this is, clowning's like the perfect way to do comedy, but something that's a bit more theatrical as well.
This isn't red-nosed clowning, is it?
Very much not so. There's not a red nose in sight. And I think, I don't know, clowning has, lots of people have lots of different ideas about it, whether that's red noses or the like very heavily audience participatory stuff of Dr. Brown. And there's so many different performers who are influenced by clown or call themselves, identify themselves as clowns, which can be helpful and also not so much. But to me, clowning is all about creating a show that is all about sharing an experience in a room with other people. And so it's not something, I began to become quite, feel quite cold watching stand-up shows because it felt like it was very cut and dried and prepared. I am prepared, but it's trying to create something that feels like it's a unique experience every time, which keeps it interesting to perform.
You have hair that looks like you've been struck by lightning. You have a flowery shirt and you have pink socks with a monster face on it. Where is the line between clown and Luke?
That's very observant. I'm willing to say I think there isn't a huge line. It, to me, is a way to be on stage and kind of be yourself as much as possible. And to me, making people laugh, wherever that is my favourite thing. And so I think, yeah, I think it's become, or it's more so much that the way in which I'd like to hopefully interact with the world in like a playful way is what I wanted to be able to do on stage. But I am dressed much more somberly on stage. We're talking black turtleneck, black leggings, you know, it looks like art. It feels like art.
But you're, say, travelling up to the Edinburgh Fringe on a train, and sitting next to you, someone sits down in a suit, it kind of says, Train Spotting Magazine. Yes, well. You know, yes, what do you do? Do you try and make them laugh, or can you absolutely go into a zone, which is not what I have before me now?
For me, the most important thing is, like, you can, if you share like a moment with someone, then you have like a moment where you kind of, people like break out of their normal way of interacting with the world. I really love messing about on the London Tube for this very reason. One of my favourite things to do is kind of chase after tube trains if I think they're not going to stop. Or like running...
down the tunnel.
Yeah, down the tunnel. Right down, you know. People are worried about me. Because I think we have a very... we always feel... I think, especially with the way in which we rely on technology, it's very easy to become like mechanical in the way in which you interact with the world.
And just a bit dour.
Yeah, definitely. And to me, hopefully... I hope my work makes people look at the world with a bit more imagination. And my show is all about using... I use a lot of, like, office supplies and props, which normally are very mundane objects. And so if we can see... if I make people see those objects in a slightly different way, in a more playful and inventive way, that to me is, like, my dream. Like, bringing a little bit of imagination to quite a hopeless world.
Take me into your rehearsal room. Are you doing it in front of a director or a mirror?
a lot of it with a mirror, and a lot of my rehearsals look like absolute nonsense for a long time. And I made this show in my bedroom, which did have a large mirror in. But I work with a guy called Luke Howarth, and the show began just because we'd be watching David Attenborough's Planet Earth every week, and then he would do like a really funny impression of it. And he does not like performing at all, but I've dragged him in to kind of direct the show. And also, he still voices David Attenborough, even to this day. Even though he's gone off and he has, like, a job directing very serious plays in Oxford, he is coming down to Brighton at this very moment to voice David Attenborough.
Is there a script? Are there notes? What's in your notebooks?
My notebooks are filled with bad ideas. But there is a... there is a loose structure which at any point can be kind of thrown up in the air. And I feel what we're prepared for is to change, maybe. But also a lot of the show is about trying to make things feel like they are things that are happening spontaneously in the space. So what's really nice about... I see it as really as a two-man show, me and the guy voicing David Attenborough in the tech box. And because he's doing it live, it means he can react to whatever's happening in the room, and he can surprise me, and I can also try and surprise him. So that's really enjoyable. It feels like having a lot of fun with one of your best friends, but you're pretending to be creating a nature documentary at the same time.
Like a lot of fringe venues, the Warren is a real buzzy, you can feel the rumble, and in the space you're performing, you can even hear police cars going by and so on. And then there is the quiet space, you know, some of the theatre venues you play could be literally dead quiet.
Yeah.
Do you adjust just your performance with the space you play in?
That's a really good question. I think, yes, certainly. To me, one of the great excitements about performing is every time you come somewhere, it'll be a different room. And if what you do is all about reacting to the room, you have to incorporate that. It also means that wherever I'm performing, it's perfect because it will surprise me, and anything that happens will mean that something happens in the room. I performed parts of the show on a canal boat, which was absolutely brilliant because you've got 40 people squashed into this tiny boat, and everything that happens on the towpath is... everyone's going to hear that. And if you react to that and make that part of your show, then it's a lot easier to make it feel like a party that everyone's at, rather than I'm here doing my thing, I've got this bright light on me, no light on you, and I don't really care about how you feel about what's going on. It's much more enjoyable for me to try and create something that feels live.
Two-part question. Who's your favourite dead and who's your favourite living clown?
My favourite living clown is a man called Trygve Wakenshaw. I mentioned him a little bit before. He's
still out and about on the fringe circuit.
Yeah, very much so. He performed with his baby last year.
And why that one?
Trygve, I guess because it was the first thing I saw that made me go, you can create something that is funny because it captures someone's imagination. Rather than you're telling me how funny and clever you are, you're making me feel funny for recognising what you're doing. And he's a really funny mime artist and creating really cartoonish and imaginative worlds. And then for me, I think my favourite dead clown is probably a pretty obvious answer, but is Buster Keaton, who I think really was like an artist in so many ways because he controlled so much of his production and his creation. And he really showed, again, what you can do by letting the joke take place in the audience's imagination. He doesn't really comment on the things that happen. He just arranges the sequences. And his blank face is something that we can then imagine into. And so finding a way to do that is the dream.
Two final questions. One would be, because people don't know, what you're going to a show now. What will you be doing in the 5 minutes before you go on stage?
I'll be standing in a very small space wearing a lamp on my head so I can begin to play an anglerfish, listening to the circle of life and the audience coming in, and really terrified, and listening to how the audience are laughing and how they're speaking to each other. And to me, it's magic. I love that moment, but it's terrifying.
And finally, you don't sound like a PR guy anyway, so what's your gentle invitation for people that haven't seen you before to come and see Luke Rollison?
I would say, I'm glad you don't think I'm a PR guy.
Well, no, you haven't PR'd this at all. You haven't said the word amazing once, which is a great relief.
It's amazing! No, I would say it is a comedy, one-man, low-budget nature documentary created by an idiot using whatever he can find in the basement of the BBC. And if you like David Attenborough or live on the planet, you will like it. Definitely.
Luke Rollison, thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you very much.